rumors out there that Deshaun Watson might want out in Houston. And
dude, that's massive.
There's no way they're ever trading him. Like,
dude,
no
if
chance.
If he says I'm out, he's out. So what are they going to do, force him to stay?
The NFL operates a little bit differently than other leagues. I just don't
how
see
so,
it.
Brian?
Guy well, wants how many guys have demanded trades? Give me someone who has demanded a trade and got it in the NFL.
Demanded a trade and got it in the NFL. Keyshawn Johnson.
Okay. That's a good point.
Yeah, I don't remember that exactly, but I'll give you that one. Okay, that was 15 years ago, 20 years ago, but anyway, we'll see. I just don't – I don't really
Le'Veon
think it's going to happen.
Bell?
Well, he had to sit at home. He missed a whole year.
There's guys out there. The bottom line, it's 2021. If guys don't want to play for the organization, that's a different story.
You're right. If that's where it's trending, then that might be what we're talking about here. It's a totally different National Football League.
Right.
We'll get to that with Trey in a half an hour. Here's Steve Phillips, our MLB and Jays analyst. What's going on, Steve?
Not much, guys. Good to be with you. You know, Jamal Adams forced his way out of New York with the Jets to Seattle.
Exactly.
You're right.
Exactly.
Yep. That's right.
But I got to tell you that the Texans just gave Deshaun Watson that contract. There's no chance they're letting him force his way out. What they need to do is surround him with some players and make him happy.
I read today, Steve, will not be a deterrent. Will not be a deterrent. So
that's
all good on that front.
What Deshaun Watson was saying, he won't be a deterrent?
No, people around the situation are saying they understand the levity of the massive contract, but they're saying it will not be a factor in him being moved, if that's what it comes down to.
Well, here's the thing. This year was a colossal collapse and disaster for Houston. The previous 2 years, they've been a playoff team. He's been in the league for 4 years. He went to the playoffs 2 years in a row, and they offered him up a massive contract, the second largest contract, I believe, in NFL history. You're really complaining because he had one down
well,
year?
Well, it goes back to another issue, Brian. Why'd they get rid of his number one target, for crying out loud?
Well, that
yeah,
hurts.
Right?
Yeah, that is understandable. Well, how about the mood in Cleveland today with Francisco Lindor being flipped and Carlos Carrasco's involved in that deal as well, and they get back prospects, and, you know, obviously the Cleveland organization is going to convince their fan base, or try to, that the prospects they got back were just cornerstone pieces and are going to be the next Francisco Lindor, Carrasco, et cetera. But it's a tough day in Cleveland. It has to be.
Oh, there's no question about that. I mean, I think you go back to, you know, I guess it was, 2002 or 2001, I made the deal to get Robbie Alomar from there. I was with the Mets, and we got Robbie Alomar out of there, and it was the same thing at the time. I remember the press conference at the winter meetings. Mark Shapiro and I made the deal. Mark was running the innings at the time, and, you know, he was – John Hart had left, and Mark was going to disassemble the team and do a rebuilding. And I remember we made the deal, and we went to the press conference at the winter meetings, and I had a suit and tie on, and he had on a polo shirt. And he said, you can tell who got the better end of the deal on this one. The guy wearing the tie coming to the press conference, not the guy with the polo shirt. You know, and it's funny because, you know, Chris Antonetti, the president of baseball operations in Cleveland, said, you know, there were tears when he was talking to Carrasco and Lindor because of the closeness of it. And I remember when we made the deal for Alomar, Mark Shapiro had the same thing, that relationship, that closeness of a star player, an important player in an organization and a big part of their history, but having to part ways. And it can be very sad at times, but it's a huge deal for the Mets and clearly a very disappointing day in Cleveland.
Steve, could this possibly connect the Jays to Springer a little bit more, maybe the Jays to anything? For 2 months, it's going to be these guys are connected to this guy. They've had talks with, they've met with Trevor Bauer, blah, blah, blah. Nothing's really come out of it. I mean, does it help in any way for the Jays?
I think it could. Now, I think the Mets are still in on Springer.
Of course
they
are.
What they've done is that they have given themselves leverage that they didn't have before, because they can say to Springer, we just got Lindor, we just got Carrasco, we're still in on Bauer, we've already got McCann. We like our team right now. We can sign, if you don't want to come with us at a reasonable price, then, you know, we'll go sign Jackie Bradley Jr., get a great defender in center field, move Brandon Nimmo to left field, and we're good to go. They'd love Springer. And I think Springer's agent right now should do what Real Muto's agents didn't do. They need to speed the process up. Now is the time to make the deal, because if the Mets go away, It's the worst thing for Springer, and it's the best thing for the Blue Jays. It's like Realmuto. Once the Mets got out on Realmuto, his market plummeted. Because now, that you know, there's like maybe the Blue Jays and maybe the Phillies. Mm-hmm. And Dave Dombrowski, the Phillies, just sitting there waiting. And so I think that you know, it could be that Springer falls back to the Blue Jays. If he ends up going to the Mets, then I think the Jays have a real good shot at Realmuto, because I think they've got a little more money to spend than do the Philadelphia Phillies have. And you know, that would then free up the Blue Jays with catching chips to make some deals to maybe trade some of their catching away and bring in some other pitching.
Yeah, I'm very intrigued by Realmuto. I mean, he is one of the best all around catchers in baseball, and I think it would be somewhat of a deja vu scenario to when the Jays went out there and signed Russell Martin. And it was not something that was on the radar of a lot of people in the city, the idea of addressing that position. But I'm not sold that Danny Jansen is going to develop into a stud. Reese McGuire is he's a backup at best. I think they're going to move on from him. I think they feel pretty good about some pieces in the organization behind the plate. But I could also see this current administration in Toronto looking at Realmuto and saying it will feel a lot like Russell Martin, where I love the idea of him giving him a 5-year deal. Those first 2 or 3 years are going to be studs, but the last two might just be like Martin, where we're paying this guy $20 million a year and he can barely keep up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's not really something that Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro like to do. You know, back when I was GM, you know, we made a lot of deals where we said, all right, we're going to give him another year or two than we should, but we'll figure it out on the back end. You know, and then you get to the back end, you're like, oh, geez, what did I do to put myself in this position right now? And I'm with you. I think, you know, now Realmuto's agents were shooting for the moon, and initially were starting around $200 million. And I don't know what they were thinking or why they were thinking that high. I thought he might get 5 years, $100 million. You know, 5 times 20 would give him the biggest deal for a catcher there is in baseball, and I think it would be, you know, the right fit for him at that number. You know, he shot so high that the Mets looked at it and said, yeah, we're not willing to pay him that, so we'll go get Plan B, take him off the board. And when the Mets went away, you know, now you got the Blue Jays and Phillies. So I'm with you. I think that teams really need catching out there. The Washington Nationals have, you know, Yan Gomes and don't have another catcher. The Phillies have one catcher, Andrew Knapp, on the roster, and he's a backup. And so, you know, they're in a position that if they get Realmuto, what he does is he improves the offense and he improves the pitching, right, and the defense. And so, you know, he improves all three components of the game, which could be a real value for them, that if they can't dramatically improve the pitching, get a catcher who can get the most out of your pitchers. And that's something that Realmuto can do. He controls the running game. He's a good offensive player. He can a good base runner. He can do a lot of things to help you win. But it's got to be at the right price. So the Jays are going to walk away with some pieces in this. It's not clear right now. You know, the market may just fall back to them and dictate who they end up with, because they'll be the last team with money left to spend with a player left to spend it on. But, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But I think they're still in a pretty good spot.
Steve, who do you think has the inside track on Bauer? I mean, he's a fascinating case, whatever you want. Like, I find him a little bit annoying, but he's a hell of a pitcher. Who do you think has the inside track on him?
Yeah, so I think the Angels right now probably have the inside track. He scares me. I like him on the mound on a singular day, but it's the other 4 days between starts he scares me. I want to have guys who I don't have to worry about are going to create problems. I don't want firestorms. I don't need somebody taking on the commissioner or guys on the other team or getting into
it. He has something painted. He had, like, Joe Kelly painted on his cleats last year after he got suspended.
Yeah, I mean, he's just, and he's taking on Garrett Cole, and, you know, he's taking on the Astros. The other thing I'll say that's interesting is that Garrett Cole, remember, he kept calling out the Astros. I mean, Bauer kept calling out the Astros, particularly when Garrett Cole was there, because Cole and Bauer had a thing. They both went to UCLA. Bauer was the Friday night number one starter. Cole was the Saturday number two starter, yet Cole went ahead of Bauer in the draft, and Bauer has been ticked off about it. And what Bauer said was, how is it possible that all of the pitchers in Houston increase spin rate dramatically? When I've studied this, and I will tell you, there's nothing you can do with your delivery or your grip or your rotation to get a 300 RPM increase in your spin rate, yet they're finding a way to do it in Houston. It's not possible. I've tried it. And what he was intimating was that they were using a foreign substance to get the spin rate. And so what has happened, though, is this season, Bauer's spin rate went up 300 RPMs from what it was last year.
So how do you do
2019.
It?
Well, here's the thing. Nobody's asked him the question, and I hope to get a chance to interview him, because the question is this. Either he proved that the Astros weren't cheating and they actually did it in a reasonable way, or he used a foreign substance. and here's the thing. I think he's right. I don't know how you dramatically improve it. And what worries me is that if and I don't know if he did or not, but it's, you know, we're just, I'm basing upon what he said. If he did, what if he stops using it? Will he be the same pitcher who won the Cy Young Award last year?
Yeah.
And who are you getting? And so there's just so much stuff with him. He's such an intriguing guy. And I will tell you that every teammate that I've talked to or interviewed or heard interviewed that has been with Bauer rave about him. Where we look at him as sort of this loose cannon crazy guy, he is one of the best teammates. He sits down and studies other pitchers' videos and sits with them and goes through analytics and numbers and what makes. He's a great teammate when he shares all of his knowledge with other guys, but he can be a headache for an organization. Here's the thing. If you're a great pitcher, then you're quirky. As soon as you start to not be a great pitcher, that quirkiness is the reason that you're out the door.
That's right. Yep, we see it all the time in pro sports, and it certainly applies to the pitching position. Great stuff, Steve. We're hoping this breaks the levy, man. It's got to, right? Now that the Lindor deal is off the table, do you think we start really seeing things move and shake here in the next week or so?
Yeah, I think Springer is going to be the next one that has to move. And at some point, you know, the players control the timing. At some point, they've got to pull the trigger on it. And I think they nobody can let the Mets get out of their deal. Because the Mets are the one team that's propping up the market for everybody, even Bauer. And so I think that once the Mets get out, it's a little bit different. It impacts Springer more than Bauer, but I think everybody should make a deal with the prospect of the Mets still being in.
Yep, let's see where it goes. Great stuff, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
You bet, guys. My pleasure.
Steve Phillips, our Jays and MLB analyst. Francisco Lindor flipped from Cleveland to the New York Mets, and you have to believe he's on the verge of a long-term extension. Probably over $300 million, and that's a big boost for the Mets. You know, that new owner down there, he said he's going to move and shake and spend some money. He's started doing that and likely going to continue to do it throughout the offseason and
Stroh
the
show.
To come. The
Stroh You're a legend, owner. You're a legend.
Legend. Had to get in there, Marcus Stroman. One-year deal. He took the qualifying offer, and I'm sure he's working on something in the future. Yeah. We'll see.
I like that Steve said that he's weary of Trevor Bauer. Like, I mean, as a manager, you're sitting there going, I don't know if I want the whole circus with the
Not if
with
he
the
wins
player.
20 games.
That's the thing. And if he's a great teammate and he wins, you can put up with it, I think. You have to, right? Like, it's that good. But
if you have
it starts
a strong,
to go south.
Yeah, if you have a strong clubhouse, I think that could handle him.
Mm-hmm.
Just players like that are very disruptive. And, you know, you're right. If he wins 20 games or is a star, you know, you can live with it. But the minute that he's just – if he's average or below, guys will hate his guts.
Well, especially if you're paying him $40 million, it can't happen. Cannot happen.
You know what they said in Bull Durham? You win 20 in the show, you can have mold on your flip-flops, Hazy B.